Welcome everybody on this beautiful day. It's good to see so many colours actually in the congregation. It's really, really nice, helps to brighten things up. You may or may not be aware, but we're celebrating our anniversary today. So thank you to Jenny for putting together the display of lovely photos from the Historical Society. They may not all be directly to do with the church, but they are rather interesting and fabulous. And thank you to Jenny for the fabulous cake as well. And thank you to Trevor for being with us to take our service. So I'm going to hand over to Jenny.
So today we are celebrating the birthday of this church. So this building has been a place of worship for 161 years. I'm going to just read, don't worry, I'm not going to read all this. Just a little bit, because Barb asked me to do a little bit, but I have updated the church website, so if you want more dates, I'm not going to do lots of dates and names, because it's going to get a bit confusing. But when this church was built, Queen Victoria was on the throne. It was an age of progress and transformation. The Clifton Suspension Bridge was to open in December in 1864, just after this building itself opened. And the first Geneva Convention had been signed in August of that year, establishing an international committee of the Red Cross. And thinking about closer to home, the miners here were still, it was a very hard life, with them earning just a shilling a day. And that was based on production rather than hours worked. So the origins of the Baptist life that date back to the 1600s with the Lays Hill Chapel, which is one of the oldest recorded Baptist chapels. And there is the record of a baptism in 1722 at Cannop Brook. But the Baptist cause came to Lidbrook from work carried out in Herefordshire. A major influence was Edward Gough, who died in the early 1800s, but he left £11,000 to establish schools for the education of poor children in Hereford and the surrounding area. Interestingly enough, Lower Lidbrook was part of Herefordshire at that time. So there was a dual-purpose building, probably more like a house, was established in 1823 in Lower Lidbrook. And that building still exists in Mill Row, and it's number 6 Mill Row. But then in the 1830s, things began to decline. The endowment that was given for this had been transferred to Lay Hill Baptist Church. And Lidbrook lost its funding, its schoolmaster, who'd been a full-time worker. But in 1857, 12 members from the Lays Hill Baptist Church reformed, forming the Lidbrook Baptist Church. And that is now gone on, it went on to become the reading rooms. It was sold when this building was completed, and was reading rooms then, which was like a library, and that finally closed in 1928, and it is now an Airbnb. So, now, there's some conflicting dates when this building opened. I found a newspaper article from the late 1800s that said it opened on the 10th, and there's other details that said it opened on the 14th. But I would think it's fair to assume it probably opened on the 13th, which was a Sunday, in 1864. Just another really quick, interesting little thing. There was a newspaper report here that I found from 1889, and I'll just read it to you because it's really short. Newspaper reports from 1864 recorded the chapel's opening, and 25 years later, in 1889, a special anniversary celebration was held. And the newspaper report read as follows. On Sunday and Monday, the 10th and 11th of November, 1889, commemorative services were led by Reverend Jope of Cinderford. Hymns and anthems were sung by the choir, and offerings were made and collected for the organ fund. The Monday evening followed a public tea at 5:30, and the congregation enjoyed an evening of hymns and tunes of long ago, performed by the choir and accompanied by Mrs. E. London's band of Ross and Wye. The event ended at 7:30 with tickets priced at 9p for tea and entertainment and 3p for entertainment only. And just to put it into context, what else was going on in the village at the time? In the same year the chapel opened, a gentleman called William Candling was prosecuted in Rotherham Magistrates Court for sheep rustling at the bottom of Lidbrook, and he was charged with that on the 9th of January in 1864. The work for the schoolroom started in 1872 and was completed in 1875. The balcony was added in 1874. And the organ, after all their fundraising events, was installed in 1908. And just to think that that means there's been a Baptist meeting place and worship for 202 years in Lidbrook, and it reflects the perseverance and dedication of all those who've come before us. And, you know, it just is quite inspirational, really, of the community spirit. Anyway, there we are. I will stop now. Thank you. There's lots more on the website, lots more dates and information if people want to have a look on the website. And like I say, there's lots more pictures next door if you want to come on a Thursday. Thank you.
Wow, how on earth do I follow that? I was about to say you can always, after 200 years, do new things at the church. I was about to admire the fact that you've decided to bring creation itself into the church as a new thing, and then you went and killed it. It's down here. But there we are. Oh dear. And I, as you read that, one of those services many, many, many years ago said they sang, I think you said, hymns from long ago. You just wonder what those were, don't you, eh? Oh, well. Whatever it was like all of those years ago, it's a wonderful thought that we still meet today to worship the same God, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So a simple call to worship on this day. We gather looking back to see the paths taken, looking forward to see our path. We honour those who have gone before us, learning from their successes and failures. We celebrate who we are today, and we welcome the possibilities and opportunities before us. We gather now to worship God, the God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Well, I'm going to lead a short anniversary prayer, and then I think, is it Barbara? Is going to come and lead us in a prayer of thanksgiving for your church anniversary. Following that, we'll continue in prayer. Well, I think it would be nice this morning and important this morning to pray for the folk in Monmouth, pray for those seeking to bring help there. And then we'll close with the Lord's Prayer. So firstly, a short prayer on this anniversary Sunday. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the faithfulness you have shown this church over the years as we celebrate this anniversary. We're grateful for the fellowship, the joy and the guidance you've provided through every season. As we celebrate, we ask for your continued presence, for your blessings and wisdom to guide the church in the future. May our roots grow deeper in you. And may we remain a beacon of hope in this community. And may it all be for your glory. Amen.
Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are able to come into your presence again on this church anniversary to praise you. And we thank you for those people who have worshipped here down the years and who are now with you in eternity. We know that in this place we can find a word for our hearts, a lamp for our feet, and a light for our path to lead us in the way everlasting. Help us to be your disciples for our day and age, and show us what road we are meant to take so that your message comes alive for many more people. Loving God, we thank you for one another and for all the wonderful blessings you bring into our lives through other people, our families, our friends, our neighbours and colleagues. May we in turn help to bring your blessing into their lives. And in the world at large too, may we recognise how much we depend upon one another, but more importantly, how much we depend upon you. Father, we ask your blessing upon our fellowship, but especially we pray for those who are unable to be with us this morning, for whatever reason. We lift up to you those who need your healing touch, and those who are lonely. We bring them to you in the confidence that you love them and you know their every need. Help them each one to look to you that they may receive the strength and peace that you alone can give. Help us as a congregation to be outward looking so that the blessings we find within our fellowship we may share with those outside to the glory of your name. We rejoice to be part of your plan for this community, and may we prove ourselves to be the family circle of Jesus by the way we carry out your will. Give us all vision and grace to make you known in life as in word, and unite us in faith, hope, and love with all who have run the race before us and finished the course. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen.
Amen. Gracious God, on a Sunday in which we celebrate, we also remember today those who are struggling through the floods in Monmouthshire, Abergavenny and other parts of Wales. We pray for what is a busy high street in Monmouth and would normally be its coming busiest time of the year. We pray for the businesses, for those who've lost their homes and possessions. We give you thanks for the Red Cross, for the fire service, police, local authority, and all seeking to help there. We ask your blessing on that community. We pray with support it will recover well. And as your family, on this day, we offer you the prayer Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen. Well, I thought I'd bring you a little something to think about on this anniversary Sunday. I want to read to you a poem by somebody called Brant Cole. Brant is a friend of a friend. He's Canadian. He lives in Canada, as does our friend. And with his permission, I asked if I could share and read this poem to you this morning. It seems really relevant. I hope you find its relevance on a church anniversary. It's called simply, Be the Tree. I sat on the bench in the middle of the wood. The wind was strong and it felt so good. The trees were waving their arms up high, like worshippers reaching up to the sky. The branches swayed, but the trunks stood fast. They moved with the wind, but their roots would last. And right there I felt God speak to me. Son, learn from the forest. Be the tree. I looked at the ground, leaves everywhere, tossed and turned by the shifting air. They used to live. Now they've gone where they're blown. But the tree stays planted, steady and grown. Be pliable, son, when my spirit moves. Let your heart bend, but your roots stay true. Don't chase the gusts or every new sound. Stay where I've called you, planted in the ground. For life flows out from those who stay, firm in faith, yet moved by my way. The leaves blow wild and soon decay, but the standing tree gives life every day. So I'll be the tree, not the leaves that flee, rooted deep, but moving free. I'll sway when his spirit calls to me, planted and pliable. Lord, I will be. May you be the tree. So we have two readings this morning. The first is a reading from Ezekiel. They're both about sheep. No offence. The first is from Ezekiel 34, verses 7 to 11. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, because my flock lacks a shepherd, and so has plundered and become food for all the wild animals, and because my shepherds do not search for my flock, but cared for themselves rather than my flock. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against the shepherds and will hold them accountable for my flock. I will remove them from tending the flock so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths, and it will no longer be food for them. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. And then in John's Gospel, and chapter 10, and we're reading verses 1 to 10. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but who climbs in another way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him, because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters in through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find fresh pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Well, firstly, well done for being really over 200 years of age, if you include the first place, which I would. Well done to you and all who've gone before you for serving faithfully the Lord in this part of the Forest of Dean. Today we're going to look at what is perhaps the least best known saying of Jesus amongst the I am sayings in John's Gospel. I am the gate. Now, there are some important bits of background if we are to properly understand this. Firstly, it's true that in the Old Testament, going back a long, long way, the concept of the shepherd and the sheep was a really important one. It was a kingly concept. It was the idea of a king looking after the kingdom. But by the time of Ezekiel, as you heard in that first reading, that concept of the glory of the shepherd and the sheep, the king and the kingdom, by the time of Ezekiel, sadly, that had gone. Did you hear those words of way back there in Ezekiel? "As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, because my flock lacks a shepherd and has been plundered and has become food for wild animals, because my shepherds do not search for my flock, they cared for themselves rather than my flock." So you need to hold on to the fact there's been a big transition over those centuries in how the shepherd and the sheep, the king and his kingdom are viewed. But the second and most important bit of background that helps us understand this saying is what comes immediately before it. You see, you all know, I'm sure, that in the manuscripts there are no chapters, there are no numbers, there are no verse numbers. So what comes immediately before this, in this case, is really significant. Jesus has just healed a man born blind. And the Pharisees are really upset with this particular healing. And there and then they seek to investigate the healing. And it's in that context that Jesus says these words to them. If we're to properly grasp a sense of this passage, you've got to picture Jesus, almost certainly the man who has just been healed, stood there. You've got to picture the Pharisees stood there, and you've probably got to picture quite a crowd that is gathering. So what Jesus is about to say to the Pharisees about being a poor shepherd of the sheep becomes really meaningful when you understand that background. And the third thing, and this is hard for us to do because I've discovered as I get older, I like to think in a very linear way, as we all do. But to really understand this, you've somehow got to hold in juxtaposition all the time the fact that when Jesus is referring to this, he's thinking firstly of himself as the good shepherd of the sheep, but also thinking of, dare I say it this way this morning, he's also thinking of the likes of yourself as a church, as the shepherd of the sheep as well. Because, of course, he's bringing a huge criticism of what the Pharisees have been doing as shepherds of the sheep. So as you think about this, you've somehow constantly got to balance Jesus as the shepherd and yourselves as the shepherd, intended to call out by name the sheep. Now, armed with that background, we can look at a few of these verses. The gatekeeper. We read, "The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls them by name and leads them out." You could make a case, probably, for saying that this passage is about the security of our faith, our eternal salvation. You might make a case for that, and certainly there's an element of security within what Jesus goes on to say. But fundamentally, the passage is about so much more. It's about our daily, living, current relationship with Jesus. It's not about our future security, it is there, but it's about our living with the great shepherd of the sheep. Now, you've been here a long time, or this church has been here a long time, and it's worth celebrating. But Jesus remains the gate. He remains the means by which you reach this community. He is the source by which you reach this community for God. You and he are shepherds of this community. You stand outside the gate and you call this community. And I actually believe, and I'm not alone, there are one or two theologians who agree with me, that the gatekeeper in this analogy is the Holy Spirit. The gatekeeper is the one who prepares the sheep in the fold. The gatekeeper is the one who convicts and convinces, so that when you come and you call, they hear his voice and they come out and they follow. Can you see that? We are all, I'm not having a go at you this morning, don't think that. We are all to be, in one sense, good shepherds of the sheep that the Holy Spirit wants to call in this age. There is a quiet revival going on. It's happening more in certain sections of the society and community. I think I mentioned last time I was here, we just had a baptism of a young man in his early 30s who just reached a point where he knew there had to be more to life. The Holy Spirit. That man never walked through a door of a church. I think I've told you before. God literally spoke to him directly. He only later, having given his life to Christ, walked through the door of a church. So we must be ready, always, whether it's 200 years ago or today, to heed the call of the gatekeeper, to speak to this community, to tell them of the love and calling of God. But he goes on to say something else. When he's brought them out, all his own, and remember, you've got to constantly keep yourselves and Jesus as the good shepherd in mind. He goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. I don't know about you, but there are so many voices to follow today, aren't there? So many voices. Well, this brought to mind an incident that happened to us last year. We had the joy. It was a wet and kind of windy day, but there were hundreds of people there. Jackie, myself, our grandchildren, our daughter, son-in-law, we all went to one of those RSPB sites up on the Yorkshire coast because everybody wanted to see all the puffins that had gathered there alongside the other seabirds. And we stood there and we watched all of this happening. And the remarkable thing is, these birds go out to sea, and the noise is amazing. They go out to sea, they gather their fish, but they know exactly the voice of the young or of others that they're turning back to. I don't know if it's true, but they used to say that a mother can always tell the cry of their own child amongst the large crowd. And Jesus is saying, follow his voice only, and then lead people to the right voice. This is really important today because actually, if I'm really honest, these verses are far more challenging today than when they were written. There's so many media outlets, competing voices. It's a huge challenge for this younger generation, the likes of which most of us in this church never faced. If you stop and think about some of the stories you're hearing about, lives can be changed or lost because of some actions on social media. There are voices calling to people from everywhere and in every way. And this has never been more relevant than today for us to keep listening to the voice of Jesus and for us to call people to the voice of Jesus, one they can trust, one they can rely on. Our task, I guess, is to remain true, faithful to Jesus, committed to his word, and willing to follow the lead of the Holy Spirit. Next, and you might, I'll tell you a little bit about this photograph. Jesus says, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. It's been said that sheep, and maybe you already know this, have four basic needs. They need to be free from fear, free from friction in the flock. Actually, this isn't a description of churches, by the way, but they need to be free from fear, free from friction in the flock, free from parasites and pests, and free from hunger. If these are not met, they become extremely restless. And boy, have we got restless sheep in the forest. The picture there on the screen is we live at the top of a Forestry Commission track. So it is not at all uncommon for those sheep to have to be herded out of the way by our wonderful shepherdess over there for me to get the car down the drive. They're restless. They're on the move constantly. And I have to say, some of them actually don't look very well at times. Jesus in these verses is wonderfully offering us a notion of security. Think of all of the things that have happened over the years, over those 200 years, to the people of God in this place. And yet we're still here, and he is still the same shepherd, calling us, calling you. But let's not finish today on a note of security. Instead, I want us to finish on a note of excitement and joy. He says finally, I am the gate. He reiterates it again. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Like sheep in a church, we regularly come in and go out. I don't know about you, but as you get older, you move all the time between wanting familiarity and predictability to other times when you want newness and renewal. Psalm 121 says, "The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore." The great news today is not just to look back, but it's to look forward to fresh pastures. Do you know why those sheep are constantly outside our gate and down that track? I'll tell you why. Because the stuff they end up eating on the side of the track is rubbish mostly. What they really want, and if we leave our gate open ajar, what they really want is our lawn. They want the fresh pasture. They want the good stuff. They want the green. I'm here to tell you this morning, I still passionately believe Jesus wants that for you today. It's not just about looking back. It must also be about going in, coming out, going in and finding fresh pasture. It's about being positive. That's why this morning I brought you that poem. That last verse. So I'll be the tree, not the leaves that flee. Rooted deep, but moving free. This is the important bit. I'll sway when the Spirit calls to me. Planted, but pliable. Lord, I will be. After all these years, you're a pretty strong tree. You can deservedly stand tall today, but never forget to sway in the wind of the Holy Spirit as to what he might be calling you to today and tomorrow. Keep following his voice. And somehow at the same time, see yourselves as those who want to be good shepherds. Keep calling. Keep calling to the people of this community and telling them about Jesus. Amen.
Lord, we thank you that you can be trusted. We thank you that even when the way seems dark, you are the voice that we can trust. Lord, we've eaten of your body and your blood. We've met with you. We thank you and we praise you. The one who has been faithful, is faithful, and always will be faithful. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face towards you and give you his peace. Amen. And let's celebrate our anniversary by saying the grace to one another. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Trevor.